Thank you. Ron? Ron is our speaker for the day, so I turn it over to you.
I had dreams dad didn't believe in one of the doctrine lessons, the very last thing. But my older sister was home, and she seen me, and sister said, I go to the doctor. The doctor put me in the hospital, and gave me shots morning and evening, every day, in my head. And they were picking up on me that we could put me to put in. Well, one day, the nurse was getting the shot ready. And she was out of pencil. So she laid the needles on the desk, and she went to get her pencil. Meanwhile, another nurse came, seeing the needles, and she got to give me the shot. Shot only had air in. Now, I learned later in life that air from a needle, if it goes into your vein, is the most deadly thing there is. Well, I couldn't sit down for a week, but luckily it didn't get my veins or my arteries. I never seen that nurse again. Later again, I always wanted to get my dad to like me. So I learned that he liked work. So I started very early, I started working on a farm. And one day I went to work on a farm, and I just worked on weekends because they had somewhere in the week. And I went, and nobody wants to go out and put cows in. I didn't understand this. They neglected to tell me that there was a bull out there now. And they also neglected to tell me that there was a kid that teased that bull and he wouldn't let anybody in the pasture. So my brother and me went up to put the cows in. All of a sudden I hear this flying over the earth. I'm looking around. There up in the hill is that bull looking down at me, and he's getting ready to charge. My brother, he'd stay near the fence, and he'd jump over the fence. I'm in the middle of that. Well, God went out of a tree there. So, I got him down the tree. But he also had somebody leave some old boards and stuff laying out in that pasture, and I grabbed a 2x4 from him. And when that bull started charging, I stepped behind that tree, and I busted that 2x4 over his head. Well, he never bothered me again. In fact, he wasn't bothering anybody in the pasture after that. Until one day, that young man who teased him stepped into the pasture and chased him out. But God was there. Then my brother decided we should change farms we were working on. So we went to a different farm. In that farm, we had these horses, and nobody wanted to put them out because the one horse was mean. But I learned if I grabbed that stallion halter, I could just take him down there, and all the rest of the mares would just fall on his own back. There was no problem. However, one day, I wasn't being as cautious as I normally was, and I didn't hold tight to that halter. That horse realized it. And he pulled loose and he landed both hoofs in my mouth, lifted me right off the ground, flat on the ground. I'm laying in the yuckiest place in the whole field at that time, and I'm laying there with this kill me now, I can't stand this anymore. You ever have a toothache where it really throbs and it gets to a point where it feels like your head's going to burst and then it eases off? Well, it was like that, except it never eased off. And then he had to multiply that by four because four teeth were driven up in against the nerves. So I hear my brother, he's up on the hill. And I hear screaming, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm laying there freaking. I don't want to get up. I just wanted to hide. But he's worried about me. He thinks I am dead. So I get up, and I walked up over the hill. And as I passed him, and the other guys were standing there watching, I said, somebody else has to put the horse out of me. Thought that was kind of funny, Peter, and I was sort of mad I didn't do that. But I walked into the milk room, and The farmer was there, and he was with the guy that was picking up the milk, and I walked over to the sink and working with his blood dripping out of my mouth. I'm working it off, and he asked me what happened. And I told him, Peter kicked me. He grabbed a bullet off the wall, and he went around another, and he was cursing. And I never heard that man curse on all the time I worked for him. He never cursed. But he was swearing down, and he went down into the field, and he started beating that horse. And his wife comes out of the house, and she's yelling at him, don't beat the horse. And he yelled, I'll kill that horse. But she turns around and sees me walk out of the parlor, and where's that blood off, and it's still backing out of the mouth. And I had to tell her about that. So she went and called the nurse. Well, it's past hour for the dentist at the end, so he says, I'll be at the office in 15 minutes, meet me there. We were there in 10. He pulled in right as we got there. He went in, I climbed up in that chair, and he said, you want me to numb this? And I said, no, just pull them. They can't hurt any more than they do now. So he did. And then he looked at me, and he said, you know, the way that hit should have took your head right off your shoulders. And then he said, I'm going to give you some Novocaine so that this will be numb, and you're going to go over to the doctor, needs to sew out that lip. So he goes over to the doctor, got to tell me what had happened now. And he says, you know, from the looks of that, the way that hit, it should take your head right off your shoulders. So from now on, all I can think of is I should be dead. Why am I not dead? Well, that Sunday I went to church. I don't know what the preacher preached on, but I didn't hear any of it. All I can think of, I should be dead. I went to church that night. Then the other thing that went on, all I can think of, I should be dead. I went home that night, before I went to bed, I sat down. I said, Lord, we got to save him. Give me saved somehow. I need to know that I'm saved. I can't stand it anymore. I have to do this. And the Lord brought to mind what was missing. All the times that I prayed for salvation before, by something Grant Carter said in Sunday school class. He said, you have to believe that God will do what he said. And I said, okay, Lord, that's been my problem. I couldn't believe anybody could love me because I never seemed to feel any love. So I get saved that night. And I never prayed for salvation again after that. I knew it. You know what? All those dreams about falling in an alligator pit, they disappeared too. Now, the pond that was up there. Turned out my brother and his friends, they were all diving into this pond and taking rocks off the bottom of the pond and bringing them up. Well, my brother dived in, and then he didn't come back up. So one way his grandfather was one that owned that pond. He went up, grandparents were there, he broke into their house and went and called the fire department. They come out and drained the well. They found my brother stuck in mud in the deepest part of that pond. The great thing about that is, my brother always was trying to drown me in that pond. He had tried over and over to drown me. He almost shot me twice. I kept telling people he was trying to kill me. And nobody believed me. But before this incident happened, my brother went to the revival service and got saved. He came home one day and he came up and talked to me and said, I did what Mom's been talking to us all along about doing. I got saved. He changed. He started going to church very regularly. He got involved in the ministry of going out and singing to other churches and witnessing before them. But when he drowned in a place where I got thrown off a raft because I couldn't swim. I still can't swim. I sink. Most people can float, I came on. And they threw me off that raft and said, sink or swim. I did, I sank. I sank to the bottom and walked out. But he drowned in that same spot. The mud wasn't thick back when I was there. But after he died, I had to go tell Mom now that I found out. And she said, yeah, I'll find Dad again. Well, this time I did. I went straight to the club where there he was. And he was drunk. And I asked him if he wanted me to drive him home. Nope. I'll drive myself. We get in and drove home. And he went with Mom to the funeral. He stayed with her every minute. He went to church every Sunday. Dad never went to church except maybe twice a year. And then, not even then, if he could think of a reason not to. But he started going to church every Sunday. Every time the doors were open, he was there. And he ended up getting saved as a result of that. But you know, I found out later, my brother started going, after he got saved, he started going to prayer meetings that my sister has. And during those prayer meetings, he prayed that it took his life to get Dad saved. He'd do it. And that's where it took. You know, before I started in college, I worked at Jackson County. We had a young man there who had just got saved. We had two people there that were always witnessing to me. Lamar Forsythe from Brockway Alliance Church and Ralph West from this church right here. They were always witnessing to me. We also had a man that he read his Bible all the time. He didn't read it to get saved. He read it so he could argue with people who were saved. And he knew the Bible well. He was arguing it, and he'd bring up scripture after scripture until he could stump some of the best people in there. But he had made a statement. He said, if somebody will answer all my questions, I will say. Well, we were working one Saturday, and this young man who just got saved and was running around witnessing to everybody, whenever he'd get stumped, he'd come around to somebody he knew was saved, and I was one of them. And I happened to be the only one of them that happened to be there that day. And so they're arguing the Bible, and I can glad to hear that he has fulfilled his promise. He promised to be saved. He did. Well, before I went to college, I met my wife. She was born in date. I had come to the conclusion I wasn't supposed to be married, and I gave up looking. My older sister comes to the conclusion that I was the only one to carry the family name on, and I had to get married, and she started looking. And so her and her daughter started working on Sue. They tried to fix her up, and she just broke up with her boyfriend, and they were trying to fix her up with Nick. With me, we were supposed to be one bowling with the church. Well, they called her and went, she said, "I'm not old enough. I'm not allowed to go out by myself." She always had to have somebody with her besides her date when she went out before. And she says, "I'm not old enough to go out by myself." Her mom said, "You're close enough." She's getting tired of it. We're hanging around, moving around the house. She said, "I don't have anything to clean to wear." My mom said, "I'll go do laundry." And she came up with several other excuses. And her mom came up with an answer to every one of them. So then, I don't know anything about this yet. That just arranged for me to go out with her. Well, I happened to go to my sister's house, and she said, "We got a date for you to go to the bowling party." I said, "I'm not going." "But I got a date for you." I said, "Well, my car broke down. It's in the shop. I don't have a car. I'll lend you mine." And I come up with a few more excuses. And she came up with answers for all of them. And so one of my excuses was, "I don't know what to talk to her about. I don't even know her. I'm no good at talking to people I don't know." She said, "You don't need to worry about that. She'll do all the talking." Any of you knew Sue. That was a pretty good description of it. But it didn't work out this time. I went to pick her up. Before I could get out of the car to go up to the door to get her, she came running out of the door and ran out of the car. Apparently the house wasn't clean enough. She didn't want me to see it. She didn't know me very well. That's for sure. Well, I managed to get there to the door open for her before she jumped in all on her own. And then we started. Not a few titles. She didn't say anything. So I thought, "Oh, I'm going to get you for this. You told me she knew all this talking, and she's not saying a thing. I'm going to get you for this." So I started trying to get her to talk. She had a cast on her left wrist. What happened to your wrist? I fell skating and cracked her into it. Now that was the wood. And it was like that. It was like, as my grandma said, it was like pulling hen's teeth. Well, I did. I finally got to the bowling alley and went in. And she knew a number of people there from our church because she'd seen them. They went to the quizzes. And she'd seen them there and she knew them. So she started talking. "Aha, this is better. When we got it all done and we're going home," she was at the top of the booth. "We talked a lot. When we got back and pulled up there, we sat there and talked for quite a while afterwards. And I since come to the conclusion there was a special reason why God chose Sue for me. I didn't understand what love was and what took through my experience. But Sue did. She knew all about love. She showed more love than any person I ever met. And she taught me how to love people. God picked her. But we made a pact when I went away to college that we would write every day. We would write to each other. And we did. We never get tired of it. So I thought, I'm not going to talk about it. We'll go back home this time. So we were having a conference, a bus conference, and Sue came down to it. And when she came down, a lot of these people met her and they interviewed her. They said, how glad they were to meet her. So that's all I even talked about was her. I mean, a lot of people kept asking me what I was doing, and I was writing her a letter. But we talk about people we love. We can't help it. When we love Jesus, we're going to talk about him. We won't be able to help that either. Well, my sister had, or my niece had dreams about all these other deaths in our family. Well, we were getting ready to come home from college one day. And we had a car all the way. There were five girls that were going to ride home with me because we were having this break. And I got this phone call before we pulled out. I went in the desert, and my sister said, "Don't come home." Why? Well, your niece had a dream. Did she see you being run off the road, and she seen the person in the fire? Don't come home. And I said over that woman, I said, "You better start praying, because we're coming home." And we left. But up to Maryland, just before we crossed into Pennsylvania, and just as I was pulling up alongside this one car, he started pulling over. I have a girl that's laying with her head sleeping on the door, and he's headed right for it. So I started moving over. He keeps coming. I went off the road. I hit a cement culvert, ripped my exhaust off, ripped a big hole in my gas tank. I went on down, pulled back up on the road, and got over and pulled off on the other side of the road and had a flat tire. All of a sudden, we hear fire engines. Look back, the whole field was on fire. A guy from Virginia pulled up and slowed all the traffic so that I could get back on the road and pull over on the other side. Well, he stopped and said, "That guy stopped it, ran me off the road." I said, "No, I guess he didn't even see me." He said, "He had to see you. When you went off that road, you threw mud all over him. He had to see what happened." So if I had stopped down there, I'd have been in that mud. I'd have been stuck. And when that fire hit that gas tank, we'd have been all done. But God took care of us. For when I went off that road, I lost control of the car. But I also felt the presence of that Nauru upon me and take control of the car through me and drive it back up on the road and cross to the other side. I felt that was God's angel that sent to save me from that. God watched over me. I couldn't tell you how many times I've come close to death, but God saved me. He watched over us. He wants us to be his children. I had a water healed. I got big around, fell out of the press, hit me in the head. I was good. I had a press explode when it ripped loose, it got stuck and ripped loose all the bolts, and bolts flew every which way. Not one of them touched me. I fell off a mezzanine and hit my head on a pile of greasy, oily, rusty pipe. But my head open, but I was good. God had watched over it. I had my hands flattened and pressed. Didn't break bone in it. I was amazed at that. That hand looked so flat, I thought every bone in it was flat. Oh, no, no. Only God can do that. Why, Lord? Why? I think there are two reasons why. One reason is people are watching. I had one guy when I worked at McDowell came up to me one time. He heard me And another reason is God uses us in ministry. Another reason, when I was at the valley one day, this young man was there, and he was down on drugs. He had a couple deaths in the family. He had a whole bunch of things that going on. And he thought, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody can understand because I just can't handle this. I can't go through it. It's not possible. So I sat down with him and I started telling him some of these things that I told you, even a few others that I haven't told you because I had cut that off a lot of stuff. But when I get done, he says, I guess I can go through this after all. You can live through all of that. I can live through this. God has ministry for us. He has things he wants us to do. Things happen to us. They may not have happened to everybody, but there might be somebody else out there that they've happened to. If there is, we can be a minister to that person. We need to think on who we come in contact with. I'd like everybody to stand up right now. Look around at everybody else in this church and think, what happened in my life that I might minister to somebody else here in this church? Now, I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'd like you to think of all the people that you met. Maybe just this week, maybe that way. And think, what's happened in my life that I could be a minister to one of them? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are there and that everything we do can be used